Good morning, folks. We hope that you are able to stay cool today. We have a great lineup headed your way. At 12:30, we'll visit with Ed Carlson, CEO, Odyssey House, Louisiana, and director of the New Orleans Low Barrier Shelter and Engagement Center, also known as the Low Barrier Shelter on Gravier Street. We'll get an update as to the homeless situation in the city. There were some recent articles about folks and homeless residents sleeping in the French Quarter, and there were going to be some actions taken there and what that means. And the state recently awarded Odyssey a $380,000 state grant. We'll talk about the implications of same. We've had a lot of discussion here about LIT, the Louisiana International Terminal, to be built in St. Bernard. Let there be no mistake, I am a big proponent of same, but wanted to give the other side an opportunity to make their case. Jim DeFatta, executive member of the Save Our St. Bernard group, will join us at noon. Ben Albright joins us at 11:30. He's the CEO of an independent insurance agents and brokers of Louisiana. We're going to talk about a Wall Street Journal article relative to a company called Demotech, which is a rating company. And it seems as though they give an inordinate amount of very small insurance companies an A rating. And they have a fairly high insolvency rate. All things are good as long as there's not a storm. The problem is when they have to start paying claims, what happens then? And are they contributing to this debacle that we have in homeowners insurance? It would seem to me there should be a more standardized approach as to the financial viability of these companies. Families are being just destroyed financially, thinking they have great insurance, being told they bought good insurance. It has an A rating. How can it not be a good insurance company? Well, we'll talk about the article and we'll see what Ben thinks about this rating issue. At 11 o'clock, we're going to visit with Melanie Talia, President and CEO of the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation. We'll get an update as to a number of initiatives that they've been involved in to include facial recognition. We'll talk about the Teneo report, which was done on the French Quarter in the aftermath of that horrific event on New Year's Eve. And we'll get an update there, too, to see where we stand with a number of these issues. I wanted to start this morning just with our thoughts and prayers with the victims' families of the four folks killed and several that were injured. And it turns out, I think this morning we were notified that the NFL was actually the target in the Midtown shooting spree. This individual, Shane Tamura, obviously very troubled, left a suicide note indicating what his motives were. When you hear the stories of the victims and their families, and in particular the slain officer who did a rule Islam, 36, he's an immigrant from Bangladesh, married, father of two children, and his wife's pregnant for the third, gone. You know, doing what police officers do all the time. He didn't even have a chance here. This individual walked into the lobby and just started. It identified him, went after him, targeted him first, and then started spraying bullets across the lobby of the building and making his way to the elevator. It highlights a couple of things. Not that it would have averted any of this, because there's so many different nuances, so many pieces and parts that fit together as it relates to these types of events. But there is a takeaway here of acting on actionable intelligence at local levels and making sure that we not only evaluate it, dissect it, we disseminate it. So that others, and to increase the probability and chances of others that come across these individuals, know who these persons are and that they don't get hurt. Obviously, he has had contact with law enforcement authorities in Las Vegas. And we will begin to learn more and more about the background of this particular individual. But our thoughts and prayers go out to the city of New York, all of the folks that are there, and more importantly, the victims' families, and certainly our brother in law enforcement, NYPD officer Didarul Islam, and his family. Interesting developments recently, and I have to honestly say, I'm encouraged by what Jason Williams is doing relative to this criminal blight. The fact that he recently charged a real estate developer with racketeering and criminal blight. One would have thought maybe a more proactive code enforcement office would have shut some of this down, but obviously not. I'm sure they worked in concert with the DA, so I'll give credit where credit's due. And if it takes the DA to do this moving forward, I'm happy about it. I wish he had the appropriate number of people working in his organization so that we could engage in some of these same activities as it relates to all of the responsibilities that the District Attorney of New Orleans has. He names two dozen properties that this individual owns, and the individual's name is Edward Neil Morris III, who owns a dozen or so properties across New Orleans. And he brings all of those properties that he owns through a multitude of LLCs that were the owners of these properties that faced repeated code violation. And the DA says that this is a case of a patchwork of corporate entities to shield themselves from accountability, obviously from liability, and a whole bunch of other things. It's a tool that you use legally. But obviously, this individual has let these properties fall into a condition that's not healthy for the neighborhood, not healthy from a public health standpoint, from a criminal enterprise standpoint, and the like. And it's just dragging down the value of properties in those neighborhoods. This is something that we've needed to have done for a long, long time, folks. If you recall in the aftermath of Katrina, there were about 30-some-odd thousand blighted homes that we had identified here in the city of New Orleans. There are a number of mayors that have talked about initiatives to go after the blighted homeowners. I'm told that they had kind of reduced that number down to about 20-something thousand. I'm not sure exactly where that number is now. I'm going to try and find out. But it's something that we need to address sooner rather than later. When you start adding housing stock, availability of affordable housing, and all of these other factors I talked about yesterday, just the appearance of we can't keep our inmates in our jail. They're getting out. We're in a competition business for population, right? And we're the ones paying the price, not the sheriff, not others, right? And we have to be clicking on all cylinders to make this place attractive. I mean, this is a city that once had over 600,000 people. We don't have 400,000 today. That's why we're a third-tier city. We don't get to a second-tier city till we have a more economic diversity here and a more robust population base. There's an article in NOLA.com, I think it was posted yesterday, actually this morning, according to 2024 U.S. Census data and U-Haul mid-year migration data, seems as though that New Orleans is losing population faster than any other city in the state, and it seems that they're going to four cities that they like: Houston, Dallas, Austin, and San Antonio, all within a day's ride of the place that they once called home. Two-thirds of the parishes in this state continue to struggle to retain their populations. This is not good for us. And that's why we need to take care of these little things like this. Because these are problems that lead to bigger problems. These are blisters on the underbelly of this city. And we have to deal with this. So I give kudos to Jason Williams for doing so. I hope there are more to come. Because maybe that will set the tone, send the message, and people will start to remediate their properties, take care of their properties, clean up their properties, cut the grass, pick up the trash, and the like. And we can begin to change this culture of noncompliance that we have wallowed in for a long, long time. You hadn't heard that in a long time, right? The culture of noncompliance. That's a culture embedded here in so many different ways. And until we root that culture out, we will not markedly improve ourselves here. And blighted property is the classic byproduct of that culture. It's all about the property owner. They don't care about what goes on in their neighborhood. Not at all. You know, it's funny. Every day I go outside my house and pick up trash that I saw that morning when I go to the coffee shop. I make it my business. Sometimes I even get on my bike and go pick it up. Why? Because it's a representation of my neighborhood. As people drive through my neighborhood, the one thing that I would really love them to say is that it's clean. And what do they draw from that? These people give a damn. I've had the opportunity to drive downtown for about the last, almost every day for the last 4 or 5 days. The interstate is filthy. What does it take to get a street sweeper to do the interstate twice a week? It cannot cost that much. But I can assure you that every conventioneer that comes to this town, by the time they get to their hotel, have decided that this city is filthy. It's embarrassing. Embarrassing that we can't keep that stretch of highway from the airport to downtown New Orleans clean. The stuff that's falling off of our automobiles, bumpers, tires, rims, it's amazing. One would think that our cars are put together like Lego pieces that just drop off at whatever point when they get loose. It's crazy. I mean, it's nuts what we see on the side of the interstate. But for whatever reason, we can't seem to get it cleaned up. And it's really improved in many other ways. Like, you know, the new Fox 8 office building, beautiful building. The new golf course complex at night, all lit up. Absolutely incredible, you know, to look at. The sheriff, for the most part, has kept that wall along the interstate clean of graffiti. Of course, some knucklehead went out there and wrote something on the wall to make fun of her. Great, thank you. All the while not recognizing that when you do that, you know, every tourist that comes into town is drawn, their attention is drawn to that. Another sour note. Cutting off our nose to spite our face. But it's a collection of all of these little anecdotal duties that we have as it relates to our neighborhoods, that we should only accept in our neighborhood what we would accept in our home, and that we should clean a place up. Always. This is all about leadership. The mayor's figuring out where she's traveling to next. I wish she would spend about an hour or two trying to figure out how many street sweepers we have and the value of getting the interstate cleaned up once or twice a week. Because that stretch of highway is so very important to the first impression of every visitor here. The same reason we remove the people living under the interstate and why we've been after that challenge. When you exit a ramp, that is not the first thing that you should be seeing. Why do you think the big manufacturing plants that have located in Alabama and Mississippi and other places, you drive by them, right? The grass is cut, the garbage is picked up. It's one of the cleanest areas along the interstate that you're ever going to see. Why? Because they understand the marketing value of human nature, the first impression being the lasting impression. They get it. It's an easy buy. It's actually cheap. And it's not that hard to do, right? Doesn't take a lot of training. Doesn't take a big investment in order to get that done. But the why is huge. Because people talk. People love to share positive experiences. Because we all know that we're facing all kinds of negative experiences each and every day. Life is tough. So human nature is you share these positive experiences. So why is it that our leadership cannot figure out how to keep the interstate clean? And again, I applaud the DA for going after folks that are doing the opposite in our neighborhoods, destroying them. Wealth is created with the investment in your home. The single largest investment that you will make in your life for most people, for almost everyone. And the equity in your home historically has been your future, has contributed to your ability to retire at some reasonable age and to afford things that maybe you could not afford it. You didn't have the ability to pay for or afford early onset in your life. These are all things that we should be concerned about as we think about these things. And one of the reasons I'm talking about this a lot now, folks, is y'all going to vote in October. I keep reminding you, please don't shut me down on this issue. It's a defining moment for this city. Oh, man, one of those overused terms, but it truly is. We're coming out of an 8-year administration that has been lost in the weeds. That's not to say that she hadn't done anything good. She has. But the vast majority of what she's left us with is not real positive. Not by any stretch of the imagination. And we have a lot of other elected individuals that are not leaving us in a better place than how they inherited their office. That's a shame. It's a pretty simple goal. Just a little bit of improvement. But we're not seeing it in a lot of different ways. The competencies of folks that we're putting in public office is waning. We're the ones to blame. These are not hard things to get done. Trash collection? Who'd have thunk it was going to be the most controversial issue for the last 7 months of this year? Why can't we get that right? We don't want to do the right thing. We want to do the political thing. The right thing is so much bigger and better and more beautiful than the political thing. But we've allowed this person to get away with this for a long, long time. We had an opportunity to boot her to the curb. We passed. We failed. And now we continue to pay the price. And hopefully we don't make these same mistakes again. And hopefully, from day one, we begin to hold them accountable. When they begin to assemble their administration, if they bring some of the incompetent fools that the previous Mayor Cantrell brought in, we need to call them out. That's not going to get it. We're not going to allow this to happen. No way, no how. You're not going to make a mockery of our city for the purposes of your politics. Because we have too much invested here. Time, effort, money, our kids, our lives. We want them to come back. The vast majority are not. It's on us. And it starts with these little things. So congrats to the DA. And I'm sure he had some help from code enforcement. To them as well, and whoever else helped in this endeavor. As we begin to hold these people accountable for the properties that they have here that are sucking the life out of our community. And it sends the message that we're not going to accept it any longer. We'll be right back. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll go to the talk lines in the next half hour. If someone calls, give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back. Well, the predominant messaging on the text line is that some people have already called about the condition on the interstate. Trying to figure out who's responsible, whether or not it's the Louisiana Department of Transportation. I don't know within a municipality how that works. Either way, let's assume that it would be. I could tell you that if I were mayor, I would have somebody cleaning up the roadway. I wouldn't be waiting on the state of Louisiana. I'm a firm believer if you don't control it, it ain't going to happen. I don't rely on others to get things done. Never have, never will. Because things just don't happen. You have to make them happen. And if you go in with that mantra and that mindset, you can get things done. And again, it's all about setting the priorities. We can't be all things to all people. Sometimes we have to be the bad guy, holding people accountable for their conduct, for the condition of their property, for their lack of desire to pay the appropriate taxes, that they may be stealing from us. So we conduct sales tax audits or other audits to make sure that they're honest in what they're doing, because those dollars are necessary to pay for the street sweeper to sweep up the interstate so that we can look like we live in a place that we're proud of each and every day, and we're not living in filth. It only takes a few dots to connect. It's not rocket science. You don't need to be a PhD or go to graduate school, which is getting tougher and tougher for Americans in this country. We'll talk about that maybe a little later on another day. But the fact of the matter is none of this is tough, that difficult. have one text that says, the first impression I have is that the taxi cabs are less than desirable. Yes, they are. But that's enforcement. I mean, again, you're out there giving CPNC numbers and this and that and, you know, and all of this, and allegedly we are supposed to have inspections of vehicles because that is a first impression of the city. The airport, same thing. Thankfully, they're getting award after award after award. That place is clean. When I flew in from overseas in the first week of June, they had more cleaning people cleaning stuff. There was great. Loved seeing it. I had to kind of meander through all of the spots that were, you know, partitioned off. But it was a beautiful thing. I didn't care. Because you could tell we're moving forward. We're prettying ourselves up. We're creating a landscape for that first impression. For people to talk about it. And guess what? We get these awards because they are. Go figure how that works. Let's go to Rocco. Rocco, you up? You're up. What say you?
Rocco, how you doing? Rocco lives
doing
in
well,
French Quarter. Rocco owned cabs for 50 years. Rocco ought to be the mayor. I love everybody. But sometimes
good.
We got to tell the truth. We got to tell the truth. Here we had the greatest school in America to work your way through college. Some of your best colleagues went to that school, UNO. And to let that one die... and let other play, and then we get to pay a guy $500,000 to come to a school where they got 30% absentees every day. Does nobody see that? Am I? I'm not that guy to Francis T. Nichols on a GED. But I love this city. I own a house on Portico around the corner. You know, I had 20 feet of water in Chalmette. I didn't go over the lake like all my sister friends. I'm going to get in trouble now. But anyway. Because I can see the city dying, Newton. It's scary. You know
well, you
who
gotta,
you are, but I know you.
Me yeah, you, look, you got to give a damn. You know, Rocco, it's interesting that you say that. Look, I graduated from UNO. That place is near and dear to my heart.
Too.
You know, and it's interesting that you say that because I never really thought about it in that context.
Well, it was.
But yeah,
I read that book 20 years ago.
It is a shame. It is a shame that you know, that they are, in fact, struggling there. Well, I think it's a byproduct of a number of things. You know, lack of leadership. They probably hired some of the wrong chancellors there for a while. But also, it's the city. I mean, you know, we are not clicking on all cylinders. We're in the competition business. We are competing against other cities that are recruiting people to come and live within their city boundaries, and we're losing. Plain and simple. Let's call it for what it is. And you don't get these opportunities back. Think about all the opportunities that we've had here. Great opportunities for this place to shine from a marketing perspective and otherwise about why you'd want to live in this city. There's so much here to do culturally and socially, and we have restaurants that are getting recognized all the time, hotels, conventions, concerts. If you're a young kid, and you're a young adult and you move here, there's a free fair or festival almost every weekend to enjoy. But the problem is, we got a lot of other things that are just not so good. So on balance, we lose out. We lose out. But we shouldn't. We shouldn't lose out to any of these towns. They don't have the culture. They don't have the beauty of the people that we have here. They don't have the diversity of culture. They don't have the ancient history that we have. They don't have the significance that we have in the development of this country. They don't have the port. They don't have the river. They don't have a lot. They don't have the seafood industry. None of that. We have so many things to leverage. But we got to be smart about what we're doing. We're up against smart people. They understand. And they craft a way to circumvent. And actually, in some cases, they've taken parts of our culture. Right? Music. Not real hard. But they highlighted it. They put it together in sections of their city. They offered it up. And guess what happened? Like in Nashville, it's clean. See a lot of police. You don't have vagrants hanging around. There are no panhandlers. In fact, you can't sit down on the street there because they won't let you. You have to continue moving. And if you give them lip, I saw it. I was standing right there. The park rangers that are also working that area because they made it into, I think, like a state park or something. They said, look, we can do this one of two ways. You can listen to us, move, get up, move on. Or you see this guy over here with the badge and the blue uniform? I'm going to call him over, and you're going to jail. So you're not going to impede the sidewalk, and you're not going to sit here with your dogs and your animals and everything else, you know, barking at people as they walk by. That's not happening. We don't allow that here. You have 10 seconds to stand up, or the police officer's coming. Guess what happened? They stood up and they moved on, right? Because they're not the center of the universe. And the moment you let them believe that they are, that's when they start taking over. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Let's go to the talk lines. Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We'll go to Jeff. Jeff, you're up. What say you?
Sheriff, I don't live or vote in the city any longer. I'm on the North Shore, but I did spend a lot of time and was born and raised down there, went to high school as well as college, and I still care, and it's the only way that I have to describe it is that I listen to your show as often as I can, and I do listen to your guests. And when you mentioned the elections coming up, as well as the mayor being in for the last 8 years, and she has done some good things, it made me think, you know, Sheriff, just based on listening to your guests, especially Rafi on the Crime Commission, when I hear the statistics falling, the only thing comes to mind that the mayor has done, in my opinion, is to appoint and Kirkpatrick. If you can tell me any other things, or if you don't think that point's valid, I'd like to hear it.
Well, I think she's done some good things. I mean, she created the consolidation of New Orleans and Company with the New Orleans Tourist Commission, and that made sense. There was no reason to have these separate agencies out there and not be able to leverage the expertise that each one had. And that was something that was brought about that I thought was, you know, really good. And there's been some other things that she's done. I don't necessarily agree with the ideology, but I think some of the folks that she has in her administration have done a good job. Joe Thread, for example, with the Department of Public Works. I mean, that place was a mess. He's worked hard to clean it up. There's still more work to do, and I know that he would say the same thing. They got a lot of help, but they leveraged that help and they did good things, not only for the, concert, but for the Super Bowl as well. These were two opportunities that we, needed to leverage. And I thought, you know, her administration, came together on that forefront. But if you think back, I mean, part of the issue that I have is I think back to the week before a citizen group decided to do the recall. You may recall, or maybe not, I was the one that suggested a recall. And I put together a list of failures that we had experienced up until that part of time. And it was pretty telling, the breadth and depth of this list. And so many things that were just kind of easy to get resolved. But for whatever reason, she wanted to be the salmon swimming upstream. She didn't want to work with anyone, and I pointed out then, and I'll point out again today, She's an activist. Activists thrive on conflict. And I don't really ever want the problem solved, because then what are they activists about at that point in time? They have to move on to some other topic, I guess, and that's probably uncomfortable for them. And that's not a good place to start, where you actually thrive on conflict. And I think one of her biggest failures is she never really developed a relationship with the business community. I mean, these are folks that are some of the most giving individuals in the world. Thankfully, we have a very giving community. We have not-for-profits that are doing phenomenal jobs here, right? What would it be like if we didn't have them? And I guess I could go on and on, Jeff. I think there are some other things that she's done well. I like to give credit where credit's due. But, you know, when I put the balance sheet together, the negatives do far outweigh the positives. And she thinks she's the center of this city's universe. She's entitled. She's at the trough. She's going to trough, and she's going to take what she can take because it's her turn. And I think she really believes that. And she thinks that if anybody calls her out for it, as if and though we hadn't called out others for the same conduct, you know, I don't know. But I think folks are done. They're ready to move on. And we'll see. Her last day in office is on my birthday. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break in the back half of the 11 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Ben Albright, CEO, Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of Louisiana. We'll talk about Demotech's ratings of smaller insurance companies and the large number of failures of these companies that actually had an A rating, and whether or not that's contributing to the debacle that we have, not only in this state, but in other states relative to homeowner insurance. It's as a result of a Wall Street Journal article that's pretty compelling. We'll start out the 11 o'clock hour with Melanie Talia, president and CEO of the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation. And we'll get an update as to where we stand with a number of issues, to include facial recognition, the Teneo report on the French Quarter, and other issues. So stay with us.